No opinions, no arguing, just the news. Right now.
Right now.
Chris Bryant, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Austin Price for News Radio 92.3.
Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Happy Friday. Julio Diaz is the host of Let's Go Pensacola. Saturdays here at 4 o'clock on News Radio and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook, watch movies, and talk about them. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So there is one movie, only one movie. It's the only movie anybody cares about, The Odyssey. Christopher Nolan, who is maybe my favorite director of all time, at least in my top five for sure.
Yeah, I don't know about my favorite director of all time, but certainly one of our greatest living directors and one of our greatest working directors right now.
Right.
In terms of, you know, somebody who is, you know, consistently still making movies regularly. You know, I mean, we could talk about, you know, obviously Spielberg's amazing and he's still making movies regularly, Scorsese, and, you know, somebody like Quentin Tarantino who technically is still an active director, but it's been a few years since. I mean, he keeps saying he's going to make one more movie and then he's done, but he doesn't seem to want to get off his rear end and actually make that movie.
Right. So. I just know that Christopher Nolan is consistently fantastic, and the movies are, you know, the movies are not bees ever.
Yeah, name a bad Christopher Nolan movie.
Right.
You can't do it.
Dark Knight, Interstellar, Memento, Inception. It's fantastic.
There may be some you like better than others. There may be some that you quibble with, you know, the subject matter, and maybe you find them confusing, or, you know, he doesn't make movies that you can just turn on in the background and ignore.
Okay, you know? Is this movie as good as we expect it to be?
According to pretty much not just the reviews, but the audience reactions from previews last night, yes, it is. It's 98% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Nice.
Audience score of 96%. So, I mean, yeah, you know, I mean, he works with the best actors in the world. He is one of the most technically skilled filmmakers in the world. You know, there was some controversy leading up to this movie coming out because some of the casting,
right.
some people, you know, whatever they have in their heads, or some people that think that they are suddenly, you know, scholars of Greek history, which, again, this is not a historical film. This is a film based on an epic poem,
right,
which was not history. It was, you know, it's like, you know, it's like, well, you know, I didn't think that guy looked like Zeus.
Well, based on the photographs we have of Zeus, that's a fair claim, right? So
So I mean, you know, it's people that get themselves tied up in knots and just they've decided on something before they've even seen a movie. You know, all of them can go jump in a lake.
Yeah, I mean, it's Chris Nolan. It's going to be fantastic. And, you know, I love the interview he did with Jon Stewart where he talked about loving the fans and becoming one and trying to honor, you know, all of that history. I did want to ask you, somebody had asked me a question just briefly. I only got about 30 seconds for it. But, you know, somebody had asked, do they still have IMAX theaters of film anymore?
I'm sure there are some somewhere in the country. I know that there is a 70mm release on this film, which I think is what they're probably talking about, which isn't necessarily the same thing as IMAX, but there's not one in the immediate Pensacola area. I can't, there's certainly not one in Pensacola. We did just get our IMAX screen back at AMC Bayou 15, which is very exciting. I've been in there. It looks fantastic. They've got the laser projection that's very sharp and crisp, and you know,
nice.
Very excited about that, but there's not that I'm aware of in the Pensacola area. There's not a single theater that's not using digital. Yeah,
gotcha.
And I don't believe even over in Destin or Fort Walton or Orange Beach or any of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are you going to watch next week? Do you know yet?
I'm not sure yet, but as soon as we do, we'll let everybody know on Facebook.
Excellent. And just a reminder, you mentioned it last week, but the W Street Theater is still open for a little while. Got reprieved, and we just went and watched a movie there after I thought the theater had closed. So it's definitely in function, at least for now. Julio Diaz, host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturday here on News Radio, and also the Pensacola Mood Club. Follow him on Facebook. Sir, thank you, as always, for the time. We'll talk to you in a week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
All right, coming up next in the Transgressive Memorial Service, find out why Brother Andrew hates Pete Hegseth and loves David Muir. You'll enjoy. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Blue Angels traffic brought to you by Leanne Morgan, coming to the Pensacola Bay Center September 4th and 5th. The Casino Beach parking lot of Pensacola Beach is full right now. People looking for different places to park. For Pickens Road, traffic is running heavy both directions all the way to Sabine Drive. 3 Mile Bridge, not showing any delays. Via DeLuna, light traffic back and forth between Fort Pickens Road and Avenida 10. And Bob Sykes Toll Plaza, not seeing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
It's hurricane season.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
Time to make sure your Cummins or Generac generator is in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today for a generator maintenance visit. With 5 certified technicians on staff, they make sure your generator is ready when needed. And if you need a new unit or replacement, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you don't spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric is a full-service electrical contractor. 850-433-6080. White Sands Electric.
As Pensacolians, patriotism isn't just something we celebrate. It's who we are. From generations of service members and their families, to Naval Air Station Pensacola, to the Blue Angels, we proudly honor those who defend our freedom. This weekend, we're here together at the Pensacola Beach Air Show for an unforgettable celebration of precision, pride, and the patriotic spirit of America. I'm D.C. Reeves, and I'm proud to be your man.
Paid for and approved by D.C. Reeves for Mayor.
The I-10 Wired TechNet CyberCoast Summit returns October 28th to Pensacola Beach. This is the Southeast's premier cybersecurity and technology conference. Get connected with top experts and explore the cutting-edge trends shaping our future. From AI to robotics to national security and healthcare tech. Discounts available for students, military, and government employees. Don't miss out. Secure your tickets today at itenwired.com.
Hey, you okay? You don't normally miss those shots.
Ugh, I just haven't been as regular lately, and it's making me feel sluggish.
You should try Metamucil. It's been a game changer for me. Metamucil's plant-based psyllium fiber helps trap and remove the waste that weighs you down.
Ace!
You're moving better than you were last week.
Definitely.
Metamucil keeps you moving. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Learn more at Metamucil.com.
Here's what's happening around Pensacola this week. Enjoy another gallery night in downtown Pensacola, Friday night from 5 till 9. This month's theme is Future Makers, a family gallery night. It's Blues on the Beach weekend. You can hear the live commentary of the Blue Angels on Friday and the entire air show on Saturday on News Radio 92.3. Download the app now and listen to the show. Submit your events at newsradio923.com.
Santa Rosa, I'm Jill Broxson Teston, and I'm running for school board. As a parent of 4 children in our public schools, I have a personal stake in ensuring every student receives a quality education. Our district faces real financial challenges, and we need creative, responsible solutions that put students first while supporting the educators who help them succeed every day. Together, we can build strong schools, support our teachers, and prepare our kids for the future. I'm Jill Broxson Teston, and I'd be honored to earn your vote.
Paid for by the campaign to elect Jill Broxson Teston for Santa Rosa County School Board.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
Our first remembrance is for Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, who this week announced a draconian and despicable new policy of screening all military-age men over the age of 30 for low testosterone.
Today, I'm authorizing a new screening program for testosterone deficiency for our service members, ensuring you have the right testosterone levels to operate at your absolute best.
Now, before we dig into why this is so blatantly anti-woke, a note about Hegseth's title. I'm, of course, well aware the Pentagon recently rebranded from the long-standing Department of Defense to the Department of War with the same change for the secretary. And although we normally are willing to let anyone change their name, title, labels, categories, forms of address, or pronouns for any reason or no reason at all, vocabulary evolution is the third of our 18 holy sacraments, you know, we reserve the right to withhold assent from any particular word change that goes against our beliefs and values. We were always uncomfortable with defense, but we are completely opposed to war, both as an activity and as a label. So even though Hegseth currently identifies as the Secretary of War, we hereby intentionally deadname him as Secretary of Defense as part of our broad prerogative to violate our own supposed principles whenever it suits us or is a day of the week which ends in Y. But I digress. Hegseth specifically says men with low testosterone will not be forced to undergo hormone therapy against their will, but increasing testosterone levels is clearly the goal of the program.
This initiative, it's not about artificial enhancement. It's about restoring and optimizing your natural capabilities, protecting your longevity, and ensuring you have the biological foundation required to sustain the fight.
Where to start? First, as modern feminists, we most certainly don't want men to have more testosterone. The high T male is our primary difficulty. Rather than viewing low testosterone men as a problem, we love low T men. In fact, we wish every man was a low T man. Everything modern feminism stands for can be collectively summarized as trying to make men as low T as possible. We want men who are unmotivated. We want men who are not aggressive. We want men who are indecisive, weak, complacent, compliant, submissive, and gentle. We most definitely do not want men to be warfighters, leaders, winners, driven, competitive, or any of the other cluster of traits we generally mean when we refer to toxic masculinity, a term which really just defines all masculine traits as toxic. But what worries us here, in addition to the prospect of making less manly men become more manly, is the way this completely thwarts the LGBTQIA++ agenda by using hormone therapy in a way that enhances biological gender instead of violating it. If a man identifies as a woman, we want him to use hormones to become who she really is. And if a woman identifies as a man, same. But now the secretary is encouraging men to use hormones to become more manly, not less. In other words, he's recommending actual gender-affirming care where the gender is affirmed instead of our kind of gender-affirming care where the gender is inverted. How dare he use gender fluids to make gender less fluid? This entire program reeks of the gender binary and pretending that there are only two sexes, which are fundamentally different, whereas our doctrines plainly teach that the best men are the most feminine and the best women are the most masculine, and that the more confusion there is about what is masculine and feminine, the better off everyone is. So for a level 3 misdemeanor violation of the precepts of gender anarchy and a level 8 felony opposition to the doctrines of feminism, Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth, we hereby cast thee out. A casting out which will clearly take about 20 of us working together since we are all such low-T men compared to thee. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, an appropriately unmasculine and mild cheer for the work of the European Broadcasting Union and its recent release of new rules for covering of women's sports on television. The policy entitled Raising the Bar, Guidelines for Respectful Media Coverage in Women's Athletics, is a comprehensive list of do's and don'ts when photographing and violating and videoing female athletes. The basic idea is to avoid showing images of women competitors that might be sexualized by male spectators and instead use only angles and poses which focus on their athletic prowess instead of their sex appeal. For instance, it's acceptable to show an image of the female athlete celebrating by putting her hands to her face. Not acceptable to show her bending over in a bow of acceptance to the crowd. If a pole vaulter, for instance, bends down to pick up her pole, don't show that. But if she's standing with the pole resting on her shoulder, that's fine. When she flops over the bar, avoid all shots that emphasize her looking like she's on her back, has her legs in the air, or apart, or uses slow motion or zoom angles to sexualize her body. Showing a sprinter running is fine, showing her tensed and coiled with her butt in the air at the starting block is not. Anything unflattering from behind, below the waist, or in general what wouldn't have been allowed on Little House on the Prairie is prohibited. Stay in front of the athlete, shoot above the waist, do not emphasize her beauty in any way, and above all, no legs, no butts, no bosoms. Can I just say how much we love the devotion to detail here? The granularity of guidance for videographers is splendid, including the diagrams reminiscent of airplane safety cards. They've made every single frame in the performance so much the subject of hypersexualization and analysis that nobody will be comfortable capturing any images of women athletes at all. If this serves to make camera people everywhere nervous about getting this wrong, so much the better. Everyone should be nervous and afraid all the time. It's our way. We also love the way this takes for granted the total perversion of male spectators. The whole project assumes men are disgusting, visually stimulated predators who should be treated like the sexually voracious criminals they really all are, especially the high T ones. And instead of recommending women athletes might be smarter to, you know, put on a few more clothes, this declares men to be the problem and emphasizes their depravity by defining success as using camera angles to defetishize the already nearly naked athletes. Clearly, male desire is a public health threat and must be managed by an authoritarian camera regime. Duh. But what we really, really love about this entire project is its absolute devotion to making women's athletics even less interesting to watch. It is well known that men often watch women's sports specifically because it gives them permission to leer at young, healthy, thin, athletic women moving their supple bodies around on camera. Perhaps if we can re-educate men to not see women as sex objects, maybe they'll have an epiphany and start wanting to watch them only for the high level of competition and sports integrity. Perhaps one day, female athletes won't compete in the fashion equivalent of lingerie. Perhaps women's tennis players will stop wearing short skirts. Perhaps female volleyball players will replace their hip huggers with Umbros. Perhaps female ice skaters can trade in their flesh-colored tights and sequined camisoles for cargo pants and sweatshirts. It is cold on the ice, you know. Maybe the women of gymnastics can exchange their Lycra leotards for some loose-fitting pants and a button-down shirt, like in the good old days. In fact, perhaps one day all female athletes can come into compliance with the Billie Eilish standard of female attire, or just wear burkas. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, our third highest honor, the Holy Patchouli Oil Ukulele of Justice, four dandelion streamers, goes to ABC World News Tonight and their incredible news anchor, David Muir, for his outstanding treatment of this week's dramatic Blue Angels flyover in Pensacola Beach.
Too close for comfort, the images just in tonight, dramatic video showing a low-altitude flyover by the famous Blue Angels just above a crowded beach. People screaming, umbrellas, tents, and chairs sent flying.
Dear Otherin, this is delicious. You see, when Blue Angel 3 flew recklessly low and dangerously fast over those poor people sending tents, chairs, and various beach paraphernalia flying in the jet wash, he committed one of the gravest of all sins against wokeness. He made the military look cool. It's bad enough that our government uses the U.S. Navy Flight Demonstration Squadron as a recruiting tool, instilling millions of Americans with pride, fostering dreams and aspirations of greatness, and inspiring young people to want to join the military and be part of something so breathtaking. But to do it so effectively in one brief moment is particularly upsetting to us. If we can't get the Navy to stop thrilling adults and kids alike with those horridly stimulating flying war machines, at least maybe we can get them to be more boring, slow, and safe. And to this end, twisting the reality that people clearly loved this close encounter with Lieutenant Hoban's Super Hornet into something we should be scared of was one of the most beautiful media misrepresentations we've ever seen.
Not of that terrifying flyover for many.
This is the shocking moment a Navy Blue Angel fighter jet flies just feet over a packed Pensacola beach during an air show this morning. The jet is dangerously low.
To hear David Muir describe squeals of delight as screams of terror, masterful. Even strategically cutting off the comments of one eyewitness to make her sound scared when the rest of her comments sounded like she actually enjoyed the incident.
I literally thought we were going to be taken out by Blue Angels, but it was amazing. That's exactly how I want to go if it happens.
How dare she laugh about such a traumatic incident? Do you see how we must work to save these fools from themselves? In all, David Muir and his entire team at ABC did such a great job of twisting and manipulating the very positive story into something negative that we just have to sit here in stunned awe. For a masterclass distortion of the truth, for creating dread and terror about serving the military instead of awe and wonder, and for continually working to make everyone more afraid so that they can fixate on safety instead of adventure and the sounds of freedom, we salute you in a non-military way and offer you our most sincerest appreciation. Well done, fellow America haters. Well done. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sistren, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. And reminder, stories are always true. The European guidance on how to and not to video and photograph female athletes is all 100% true, including the placards that give you photo pictures of how to and not to, X's and check marks. 829 News Radio 92.3, we've got traffic with PJ.
Big Angels.
I like it. Big Angels.
Big Angels.
Hey, the All Super right. Hornets larger, for sure.
Blue Angels Beach traffic brought to you by Little John's Big and Tall Men's Fashion on Davis Highway. Your fit, your style, your way. The Casino Beach parking lot is full this morning. That means people are looking elsewhere to park. Fort Pickens Road traffic, seeing some heavy congestion all the way down to Sabine Drive. 3 Mile Bridge looking good. Also, US 98 flowing smooth through Gulf Breeze. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fires.
Got a text in here. Somebody says, "We love low T men." Sounds like a line from a song. Yeah, it's in the feminist national anthem. And their dubious now support of actual gender affirming care. You know, using gender fluids to get rid of gender fluidity.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump with a primetime reveal that China denies today, alleging China interfered in the 2020 election in favor of Joe Biden.
They knew I was wise to them, charged them billions and billions of dollars worth of tariffs, and built the strongest military anywhere in the world.
Charging China illegally accessed 220 million voter files, urging the passage of the Save America Act for voter ID. CENTCOM's sixth day of strikes on Iran, taking down bridges in the port of Bandar Abbas to degrade Iran's ability to target shipping. Taco Bell removing its iceberg lettuce from Mexico, investigated as a possible source of the cyclospora outbreak.
With state cases ahead of the CDC, that number is over 5,000. It highlights the severity of the outbreak, with concern that the problem will get worse before it gets better.
Fox's Nate Foy. America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 8:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got a beautiful start to our day, 83 degrees. Heat index at about 95, and the Blue Angel, Red, White, and Blue air show is going on today on Pensacola Beach. Casino Beach parking lot, of course, already full, and some heavy traffic there as people look for parking spots to go enjoy the air shows today. We will be carrying the Blue Angels narration this afternoon, and of course we'll have the narration for both the civilian and the Blue Angels air show tomorrow as well. But we'll check in with PJ in a few minutes and get our traffic on the fives here in about 2 minutes. Florida authorities are searching for a woman wanted in connection with the death of a man whose remains were found in a shallow grave in Walton County. Police say 38-year-old Isabel Rose Johnson has ties to Walton and Okaloosa counties and could be traveling either through Georgia or Alabama. Johnson's considered dangerous, could be using an alias and possibly changing her appearance. A reward is being offered for information on her location. Pensacola is being recognized nationally for protecting its tree canopy. City leaders say more protections are on the way. Mayor Reeves says the city has earned 2 National Conservation Awards this
Certainly
year.
Certainly want to acknowledge the 2 awards that the city of Pensacola has won from national conservation groups for our tree canopy protection efforts. The Arbor Day Foundation named Pensacola a 2025 Tree City USA.
And Reeves also says the city was recognized by American Forests as a tree equity champion city and has planted or given away hundreds of trees so far this year. Well, the Navy says no Blue Angels pilots will be reprimanded after that low flyover Wednesday during breakfast with the Blues. Spectators called it a thrilling aerial maneuver. The Secretary of the Navy yesterday saying there would be no reprimands, no firings, and that there was ultimately no problem. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth said the flyovers will continue until morale improves. Well, voting's now done for the new playground coming to Dunwoody Park in Pensacola. The winning design has an Old West theme. The city's planning to purchase and install that playground this fall. The project is part of the city's Direction 25 initiative. Reported cases of psychopariasis have nearly doubled across the state this month. State health data shows cases increased from 50 to 96 in just 1 week, including 14 cases in the Tampa area. The infection is caused by a parasite found in contaminated food or water. and can cause severe diarrhea, stomach cramps, and fatigue. It is 8:34 here at News Radio 92.3. Again, right now, we've got a beautiful start to our Friday. 81 degrees in Pensacola, 83 in Gulf Breeze, 81 in Milton. And let's go ahead and check in with PJ and get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Mothers Against Drunk Driving. For victims of drunk driving, your grief is unique, but you're not alone. You always have a place at MAD. Call the 24-hour victim helpline at 877-MAD-HELP or visit madmadd.org. Just one accident on the big board this morning, a vehicle crash East Quinette Street at County Road 95A in Cantonment. No roadblock associated with that. Looking at the Blue Angels beach traffic, Fort Pickens Road traffic backed up to about LaPorte Drive. 3 Mile Bridge not showing any delays. Via DeLuna just seeing some light traffic along Pensacola Beach. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, PJ. Again, 84 degrees right now. We've got a heat index at about 95. And our next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. News Radio 92.3. All right, taking a look at our markets here at the opening bell today. They are down. The Dow is down just under 1% at 52,059.01. S&P 500 down over 1.25% at 74.32.88. The NASDAQ down more than 2% today at 25,344.745. 10-year bond rate also down today at 4.51%. Turning to commodities, gold down 16.20 at $3,975.90. Silver is down 94 cents at $55.25. Bitcoin is down over $1,500 today, currently sitting at $62,644.69. Looking at those oil prices, they are up again today. West Texas Intermediate up $2.63, currently trading at $81.58 a barrel. Brent crude is up $2.50, and that's trading at $86.73 per barrel today. Taking a look at our fuel prices, they are up across the nation. The national average for a gallon of regular sitting at $3.98 this morning. The Florida statewide average also up today. It's at $3.96, which is up a cent from yesterday when it was $3.95. 1 week ago, it was 10 cents cheaper at $3.85. Looking at our local area, Escambia County seeing average gas prices at about $3.72. Santa Rosa County at $3.78. Okaloosa County, $3.77. And Verizon planning to sell off hundreds of retail locations.
The U.S. carrier said Thursday 274 company-owned stores will be up for sale as part of its restructuring, and about 500 corporate jobs will be cut. Verizon will still own about 1,000 stores after the sale, which goes into effect August 16th. Verizon also has thousands of franchise stores, which are mostly run by six large operators. I'm Monica Nelson.
SpaceX says their next attempt to launch the Starship mega rocket could happen next week. They had to abort yesterday's launch attempt when multiple engines failed to start. And Netflix says profits grew in the second quarter after new membership signups and price increases. Share prices, though, did still fall more than 7% yesterday in after-hours trading. It's 8:38. Your next news at 9 and breaking news anytime. This is News Radio 92.3.
You don't always have time to sit and listen. That's why Pensacola Right Now works the way it does. Every few minutes, you get the latest local news, traffic on the fives, weather, and updates you actually need. You actually need. So whether you're in the car for 5 minutes or 50, you're always caught up. Always caught up. Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 to 7. On News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
To the hip, the hip, hop, you don't stop. Rap, 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 rap.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It's a chance for me to have a couple of friends here in studio with me to talk about the news of the week or whatever happens to come up. In this case, I've got Jeremy Evans on his week, and I've got Jonathan Owens a week early. So, woo, exciting times. And can I tell you a behind-the-scenes thing is they both have been here so many times doing this that they know exactly how long they have before they have to pay attention as they're talking to each other, because they know we're at 30 seconds into the stager, and we don't have to be talking until like 45 seconds into it. So I love that. It's so good to have you guys here. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Welcome. We're here. See, now you messed us up,
man. Way to make it awkward.
Right. Well, I mean, you say we were so good at it. We're going to make it sound like we're not that good at it.
We are going to prove we do not deserve that compliment at all. Biggest story of the week, clearly, was the Blue Angels flyby. National news, millions of views, lots of clicks, lots of comments, safe, unsafe. I think people would gather and pay money to gather at something like that. But in the past, tragedies have happened because you get close to the line. We don't have to talk about it very long, but it is the big story of the week here in Pensacola. Plus, it's the air show thoughts. Jonathan?
The blast zone. That should be something that I'm sure someone on the beach is going to sell.
To market it, right.
Innisfree hotels.
In the blast
right. Innisfree hotels is going to say, you could be in the blast zone for a
shirts,
small fee.
I saw the blast zone.
Right.
we could crater out an area a little bit, you know?
To me, it is, like, the bigger issue is, don't have a tent unless it's properly weighed down. Like, there's a chance that you're going to get a giant gust of wind, and a tent flying across the beach is dangerous. Is it dangerous because the planes did something? It's like, oh, I got soaking wet because I sat right next to the front row at SeaWorld.
Yeah, the guy who did the cannonball
or
whatever.
Like, you knew that was cut. Like, the whale was going to do that. You were going to get wet. So just be responsible and not too dumb with what you do and take to the beach and leave unweighed down, because those things can happen.
I will say this on behalf of the tent owners and users is it's a long, hot day.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I were told that I had to go do what I do at the beach every year and do it without sitting in a tent,
it's either a long, hot day or it's a thunderstorm. Because
that's true.
I have been at an air show when, I mean, oh, it looks great. Oh, my God, it's a deluge. Right,
it's
really quick.
Long, hot day, then a thunderstorm.
And then a long, hot day.
A long, hot, steamy day.
Right.
That's exactly right. Oh, can I just share this? I don't want to say who it was, but I had somebody who was visiting recently, and they live in Missouri, and he was telling me, you know, I like it here. It's not very humid.
Blame that on El Nino.
I didn't know what to say. I didn't even know where to start.
Wait till next year?
Yeah, no, that's right. OLF8, the planning board meeting. Jonathan Owens, you sit on, you were one of the five. You were in the news.
There was a meeting?
Yeah, it was. I was there for eight hours. I listened to the whole thing. I haven't cut audio from it. I made us give up in exasperation. There was so much. But you voted against allowing the change in zoning to multi-use. MUU, was that what it was?
Yes.
They're going to do? And then there was going to be some fine print changes in what MUU actually allowed. What was your thinking here?
Oh,
as the 4-1, but apparently somebody else said they would have voted against it too. So, what sort of a 3-2 or a 3.5, 1.5?
It's hard to take your life experiences out in making decisions. And when it comes to, you know, boards like this, Jeremy's been on boards. The fact that I've been dealing with real estate my entire life, many, many transactions.
Three licensed realtors on there?
Myself, Van Horn, William Van Horn, and Tim Pyle.
Okay.
Are all, DBPR, licensed real estate professionals.
Okay.
Either some agents or brokerage, or brokers, either. I'm not sure what the other guys
okay,
are.
Fair
I'm
enough.
Just an agent. I'm not a broker.
But you're professionals in the field to some degree more. You're not just laymen.
Right. And this is a long way to get to. I thought it was not fair to the people that own the property.
That's
the
us.
Citizens of Escambia County, the taxpayers of Escambia County, to not have input on how a 500-acre field is going to get changed in a future land use, which is opening the door for zoning changes, which will ultimately negate the $1.4 million that Navy Federal paid for the DPZ master plan.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't feel like it was the right time. I have seen many transactions in the past where a seller will make a change for the buyer because that increases the value of the property.
Right.
They made a negotiated price based on what the zoning will be. That's not what happened at the planning or prior to the planning board. With the Board of County Commissioners gave a contract to a buyer for a price. Those things have materially changed. The zoning now is a request. It's not a zoning classification change. It's a future land use, but
right.
It's an opening the door for a zoning change. That has changed the potential material value of the property. This should go in front of the citizens. This should go in front of the Board of County Commissioners for a renegotiation, in my opinion. So did I think it was wrong for the applicant that represents the buyer also represent the county in making a change for the buyer's benefit?
Before the property
sold. Before the property sold? 100%. This was, it's just wrong. And I voted no for that reason. I mean, multiple reasons.
Yeah.
So as a taxpayer of Escambia County.
I thought it was, aside from all of that, the part that caught my attention or that I thought was weird is, why change the future land use on the part of the property that isn't even being sold?
Right.
I mean, the part that's supposed to be for the economic development and jobs
the
and light industry.
The county's supposed to hold. But
why would that part need to be changed at all? Which, of course, played into the, you know, the data center people thinking that they're trying to sneak data centers in the back door or whatever.
Who is making that request?
Yeah, and for what, and for what reason? Right.
Buyer making a request on behalf of the citizens for the property that the citizens are going to continue to own after the closing?
Right.
Or is it for another reason?
Or is it the county doing it and pretending that it's the buyer? Yeah, I agreed. It's all weird. I'll get Jeremy's thoughts on this in just a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Blue Angels Beach traffic brought to you by A1 Small Engines, your steel equipment provider in Payson, Highway 29 in Cantonment. Fort Pickens Road is running heavy right now to LaPorte Drive. Via DeLuna, light traffic between the boardwalk and Avenue to 10. And the Bob Sykes Toll Plaza, not seeing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Jeremy, I know you didn't watch the meeting, but you obviously know the project very well. And, you know, you've long time in all of Escambia politics. Your thoughts?
I feel like this, you look at this one, you look at it in a vacuum, and it seems like, oh, it's just a small, like, it's pretty insignificant change. You know what? Why are we making a big deal about it? But then you look back over the 10, 15 years of the saga of what OLF 8 has been.
Right.
And how many small steps have there been along the way from what we originally intended the space to be to where it is now, which is a long series of small steps and, you know, a few more small steps and maybe it's Spirit Halloween because it's just abandoned. You know, we just can't ever figure out what to do with it.
Don't we need a Big Lots in Beulah? What's wrong with you? Come on now.
But as a general thumb, I've been on here many times. I am a strong believer that we are a community. We are a full county. I think one of the last times we talked here is the idea of going to countywide voting. Did the civil rights thing open that up? And there are things that the community as a whole, we need for growth. We need for good stewardship of everybody. And so a lot of the not in my backyard philosophy, like things cannot change here because when I bought my house, this is how it looked like. I respect your opinion, but that shouldn't make the decision for the entirety of the county.
Yeah.
At some point, things have to happen for progress, and it has to happen somewhere in somebody's backyard.
Yeah, the NIMBYism is strong here. And it shows up in 100 different ways. But I mean, I'll give you a way that it in my own view is, you know, I hate to lose the heritage trees that I find beautiful. But I don't own the property, and I think that's a real high-tension issue because they do contribute to the collective appeal, both water management, air management, shade, beauty. But if you don't own the property, you know, how much say should you have on what somebody else does with the tree on the property they bought? Well, they knew they were buying it with it. Okay, I know. It's a complicated issue, but that's probably the one that I get the – I could be the most closely accused of caring too much about what other people do with their property. Because, yeah, if you're not willing to buy the property, how much say should you have in how it gets managed? I did want to ask about the OLF 8 deal. Are you guys surprised by the data center people and the vehemence of their – look, I try to take people seriously. I try to take them at their word. I try to listen and be sincere, you know, but this starts to look like a cult to me, the anti-data center cult. Like, it's like data center derangement syndrome.
Fight looking for a cause?
Like, everything is, you know, they're talking about an opt-out of the sector plan. Well, you don't want to do that because it could lead to data centers, you know? Somebody's going to talk about, you know, maybe you should cut your cholesterol because that'll reduce data centers. It's weird. Like, everything is data centers to these people.
I think there's a group of very passionate individuals. And the topic that impassions some changes over time, I think a lot of
from flock cameras to data centers.
And I think a lot of this 4 years ago was the machines that they were using to count election results in the supervisor of elections office were, you know, we got some more of that conversation last night. But I feel like you just kind of have a group of people who are looking for a fight. Data centers are the most interesting thing in the world to me because I don't know anybody who is like, yay, data centers. Like, everybody
I'm pretty close.
Yeah.
I mean, I think they have a lot. I mean, and funny, as being as anti-AI as I am, I just think we use them. I use data centers every day. I use my phone. I use GPS. I mean, you know, we all use data centers all the time. And so
I just don't
they
see
must be useful.
With the popular sentiment against them that is unified on the right and the left and the center, I don't see where in America they're going to be able to convince people to let them to do so. And
like New York. How does New York ban a thing that is used by everybody in New York?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. We want it, but we don't want it in our backyard.
So, Jonathan, you heard a lot of opposition to data centers. It was a repeated topic of conversation for every – it was on every item that came before the board. Somebody was up there explaining how you better be careful what you do because data centers.
I will applaud. Let me say this. I will applaud the folks that are passionate about a thing.
Agreed.
They showed up.
Yeah, that's true.
I got to give it to them. If the conversation about data centers leads to them being more educated about issues in their community, zoning classifications or future land use, and having to sit through an 8-hour meeting if they weren't on their phone using data centers – waiting for their turn to speak, and they were listening.
Or taking notes
and storing them in the
data center.
Then if there's a benefit to them being there and learning more about how government works and how to get more involved, I'm with them 100%, man.
So here's where I find it discouraging. These people are obviously very educated. I mean, they're interested in politics. They're interested in issues. They're showing up. They're willing to give up of their time. And they're clearly, you know, articulate. They've educated. And yet, as a logic teacher, I'm watching fallacy after fallacy after straw man argument after slippery slope after bad facts and reasoning. And I'm like, but you're the hope. you're not the average ill-educated maroon who doesn't know anything about anything until every 4 years they get told to vote R or D or whatever the case may be. And it's like watching on social media where people are so sincerely passionate about the goofiest ideas. And I think, but I still believe in democracy, right?
I'm going to use something you just said against you.
Go on. It's fair enough. I'll take it.
When you were studying philosophy and learned about logical fallacies and all of the list, when you first heard it, you got excited about it because you recognized it, right?
Keep going.
A logical fallacy. Okay, I know what that is now because I just learned about it.
Okay.
I think that's where the data center people are. They're just learning that something, whatever that fight may be, like you had said earlier, Jeremy, that they're, hey, data centers, somebody told me they were bad. I recognize this is something where a data center might show up.
You know what it reminds me of, based on what both of you have said, is you ever meet people who are like brand new adult Christians?
Yes.
And they've been a Christian for like 3 months, and they are super passionate about what way of baptism needs to be done. And they're super passionate about whether women should be in ministry or not, or which version of the Bible you should use or not. And there's a party that's like, man, that's awesome. They're studying, they're learning. they know almost nothing. It's awesome. You know, but they're like super experts about whatever it is they believe.
But you're okay with it because it's Christianity, right? Or whatever faith you may be.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like that's so normal that you've seen it. Once you've been around enough times, you've seen, okay, well, that's cool. Let's keep talking about this. Let's learn a little bit more. It does remind me of that. Now, it's not passion directed at the Lord. It's passion directed at a political issue. But it is sort of the, I've got a hold of something I can learn about and with a group of people that we can be excited about and we can go be activists about this together and we can brag about it on social media and we can get social acclaim and shares. And there's something similar about this.
That's where you are, to me, it is, I can join a group of people. I can get connection
identity
with a group
and belonging,
of people.
Yep.
Relevant.
And there is enough written about the subject that you can pull out hard, accurate information that is the truth. It's a piece of the truth, but it is the truth. And so you can be backed up with something that is well-researched information about water consumption and how it harms the community that you're in. And so you can tell the truth. There is plenty of truth out there for you to find the truth. And then you find a community of people you connect to, and you can be – I think people are starving for connection. And they wouldn't know what real connection is if it came up and smacked them in the face. But they are starving to connect with somebody else. And if they find a group of people that they're like, I agree with these people, it's real easy to go down a rabbit hole real fast.
A group rabbit. And there's also the, in this case, it happens to be, like you said, Jonathan, it's people on the right who tend towards conspiracies, and it is also people on the left who clearly tend towards conspiracies, but it's also the socialists, you know, locally anyway, it's the socialists who are pushing this. And they're already sort of insular and hang out with each other and reinforce each other's ideas and are accustomed to being criticized and opposed as a part of their identity. Look, we're brave enough to stand up for the truth that the average people aren't willing to hear and tell it to them. And if we get criticized, well, that's just bolstering our case, you know, because like so many other things, we haven't done a great job of educating or promoting the ideas that people would need to disabuse them or logical fallacy, all of that kind of stuff. That really interesting. Hang on for just a second. Let's get PJ in here with Traffic on the Fives.
Blue Angels Traffic is brought to you by Innisfree Hotels in Hilton, Pensacola Beach, featuring gulfront accommodations and memorable dining at Salt, Bonsai, and Sal de Mar. Hilton, Pensacola Beach, stay where the beach begins. Fort Pickens Road running heavy from, Via De Luna to about LaPorte Drive. Via De Luna itself, some light traffic between the boardwalk and Avenue 8 to 10, and then the Bob Sykes Toll Plaza, not seeing any delays. I'm PJ with your traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. So on the topic, if you're a politician, do you believe that everybody's against these things, or do you believe that the vast majority of people either don't care or think they're fine or listen to somebody like Andrew McKay talk about the arguments and are like, oh, well, that makes sense, or do you just like, this is a third rail for you, don't touch it? Jeremy?
Yeah,
you're shaking your head vehemently.
It is a third, like the best that if I were running for office right now, the best I would do is never say a word about it. But there's no way that anybody who's running for office right now can say, we're going to need AI data centers.
So should I be shush? Should I not say it?
No.
Should I not be the one who says?
You're not running for office.
Well, every day I run for office. People can turn off the radio every day. I mean, I run for re-election.
They don't have a really good alternative, though.
Well, okay. Fair enough.
What's your opinion?
Any topic that's a unifying topic. I mean, we're going to make a correlation between the Blue Angels and data centers.
Yeah,
data centers united people against a thing. The Blue Angel pass yesterday united people against David Muir. I mean, you know.
Except for the Occupy Democrats who wrote a lengthy thing about how wicked it is for the Blue Angels to put people's lives at jeopardy.
You survive talking about the virtues of COVID vaccinations.
Yeah,
And I think there's a lot of similarities between AI data centers and COVID vaccinations where you have people on both sides that are accurate and both sides that have a lot of inaccuracies in what they're saying.
Lots of passion, yeah.
And neither side will admit they're wrong, and neither side will admit the other side has anything positive to say. And I think that the truth in their hearts, people will seek out their truth, but in voting and elections and people that are motivated by things, that's a whole different world.
People make political or election decisions based on emotion, on how they feel about someone, not about what logical decisions they're going to make or what particular topic. Everyone's looking for a topic to not vote for you versus a topic to vote for you.
The accumulation of grievances.
I found it.
Problem. Yeah,
I knew it.
Well, and you know, not to turn it into more than I was intending, but I mean, Trump has managed to make an entire political career out of getting people riled up in his favor. And, you know, it's a very, you know, I can talk about his fallacies or his inaccuracies all day long, and it doesn't change a single person who loves him. Doesn't, in fact, it emboldens them. And so, you know, that's how people vote. That's how people make these decisions. And, you know, if you're a local Republican and you say anything even mildly negative about Trump, I mean, you're done.
Yeah. And I think, strangely enough, Trump is a guy who is at least, unless it's changed, he's not negative anymore.
What do you mean?
AI data center. Like, he's kind of in favor of them.
I just mean in the sense of, like, people vote with their emotions.
Right.
And passion. And, you know, Jonathan, if people are caring about politics, I will almost always take that win.
Sure.
Almost always. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
You're listening to